Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Joined today by Mr. Brad Perez. First off, man, how are you? And how's everything going this year?
I'm good. Currently in New York City right now, working for Hyundai, doing a program for them. And in between a lot this week, just ran a late model race, pitted an ARCA race, and crewed an Xfinity race. So it was quite a long weekend. So I'm glad even though this feels like not a vacation, it kind of feels like a vacation, kind of.
Sure.
So, yeah.
You're not too far north from me right now, so I'm imagining the weather's probably very nice there as well as it is here. So, definitely not a bad thing. But, I mean, your schedule often, at least by Instagram story, makes me very tired. So, for those who maybe aren't familiar, what is your 2023 background and what else are you getting into every week that maybe people don't know about?
I remember I got asked the question a little bit ago, and the question went like, oh, what does your day-to-day look like? And I couldn't give them a straight answer because I don't know. So every day is different. Either if I'm not working my conventional job, and by conventional job I work at two different driving schools. I work at the Ford Performance School and the BMW School. And then on top of that, I'll do like video and media work for other people sometimes. Like I'll write like scripts and stuff for people. And then I'll go on the sponsor hunt or whatever. And then I'll do traveling shows with manufacturers. I just kind of find any possible work that doesn't tie me down to a schedule because my schedule's so unpredictable. So on top of that, and trying to race in NASCAR, it's been quite a lot.
Yeah, so you raced, what'd you race, Xfinity and trucks this year? I don't have my list in front of me right now. So you've raced a little Xfinity, you've raced a little trucks, you've raced a little bit of ARCA a couple of years ago. Actually, I'm gonna go kind of out of order here. So you raced for Josh Williams in ARCA a couple of years ago, and then I think I was reading, because this is kind of like pre when I was paying attention to some of the lower NASCAR series earlier this year. Didn't he make contact with you at one point this year as well? So you got punted by the guy who you drove for at one point. Am I remembering that correctly in my really shitty Apple notes right now?
No, so it's funny because I saw that I got added to my Wikipedia page a couple weeks ago.
That's where I found it, yeah.
Yeah, that is not true.
Okay.
He did not hit me at the, so it was the end of the Portland race where I was filling in for Leland Honeyman because he had food poisoning. Last corner, last lap, I mean, I was getting held up by somebody, and I'm seeing that 92 get in my mirror, like he's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. I'm like, Jesus, last lap, this is like, we're running like 14th. I'm like, oh man, we're gonna get a top 15. And he was right there, and then I just overstepped the corner a little bit and I spun it. At first I was like, either I wrecked it or I just barely got nudged by the 92.
Right.
I said that on the radio, and then I guess people just ran with it and were like, the 92 punted him. It's like, no. Like, it could have been my fault. It was my fault. So
I stand corrected. So, let's take a step back from all that. As a kid growing up, how did you first get into motorsports? How did you fall in love with it? And, how has your career progressed over the last, especially the last couple of years?
So I was always that weird kid that was really into cars. Like I'd be at the parking lot and I'd be like, that's a Pontiac Bonneville. And my parents are like, what?
What is going on with this kid?
Yeah. Like, all right, get better grades. So I'd be doing that, and I guess like my grandmother kind of noticed that I really like cars a lot, and she would buy me like diecasts and stuff, and she'd occasionally get me some racing diecasts, and eventually a poster of the DuPont Firestorm car. And from then on, I was just like, man, this is like a thing that exists in real life. My parents were like, yeah, it's real. You could go see it. And they took me to a race when I was like 5, and ever since then, just became obsessed and didn't quite think I'd be on the driving route. I wanted to drive, obviously, but we didn't have that kind of money. So I was a mechanic for a couple teams for a few years before I had that opportunity. So I feel like I have a little different perspective of it, but I didn't quite love the mechanics, which is funny enough. I ended up becoming a mechanic. I really didn't care for it, but I did it because I really wanted to race, and it actually worked out.
I vaguely remember when it was like a mechanic is driving his first, you know, ARCA race or Xfinity race or whatever it was a couple of years ago. But, you know, what was the process like to go from, you know, you're working, you know, as a crew guy to, you know, are you bugging the team owner? Like, hey, you know, put me behind the seat or put me in the seat. You know, how did that process go when it, when you were like, all right, listen, I want to race.
It kind of it was weird because my experience had to come somewhere else. Like when I started making like good enough money, I was in go-karts and I was able to race go-karts for a little bit. And then I went half and half with my dad on a spec Miata. It was like a $9,000 spec Miata instead of buying a new car like one, you know, teenager should do. Bought a freaking race car like an idiot. still have a used car. But in doing that, what that allowed me to do is I got a little bit of mechanic experience so that when I went on to become a mechanic, really I did it not only because I needed to move from Miami. It was really expensive to live down there, and I didn't see myself really being able to afford that, you know, ever. I'd be living with my
Fair.
parents till I'm whatever, 20 something. So I decided like, all right, my parents are letting me just kind of stay here for free for now. Let me just figure out how to kind of make live somewhere else. So North Carolina obviously is pretty cheap, so I went over there and made pretty like basically minimum wage. Like it was pretty crappy. But the main thing, I guess like the point I was trying to get to is that like to answer your question is doing that helped me gain the experience to like understand how a race weekend worked for free essentially. I'm getting paid to learn how a race weekend works. I'm getting paid to figure out how the cars work, getting paid how to figure out what adjustment does what. Like I'm listening to the driver after we do this and I'm taking notes. Obviously while, you know, trying to do my job. And I think that helped me because now when I went to go and try to find a ride, like number one, I know how much it costs. I know all that goes on. I know what the how the team operates. I know that stuff. So like nobody could gyp me, nobody could scam me, or you know, it's possible, but at least I have like a better understanding, you know, so I don't put myself in that position.
Makes sense. So I'm going to go off of racing here for a second. And I know you do some merch work with a metal band called I Set My Friends on Fire, which is fantastic. And I don't often get to talk about like metal music on a racing podcast, so I was especially excited. But you know, how did you kind of sync up with them? And you know, A, are you still involved? And they also sponsored a race car. So tell us how, you know, how exciting that was to have, you know, guys that you're probably friends with at this point sponsor, you know, a different part of your life.
Yeah, it's super weird how that worked. Like, you know, I was a big fan of I Set My Friends on Fire as a kid, and it was mainly because like it's one of the few bands in that in the scene that were from South Florida, so they're from the Kendall area, and you know, I would always go to local shows and see them around. I never really talked to them because I was just like a, you know, puny little kid. When I ended up doing the NASCAR circus thing, I connected with Nate Blaisdell, who does a lot of management work in the sport. At the time, he didn't. His dad owned a couple of Papa Lock franchises and they sponsored Landon Castle, and Landon Castle also being another metalhead. And
Good to
I ended
know.
up meeting him at yeah, dude, he's sick. I ended up meeting up with him at Watkins Glen one year, and I remember like we're gonna watch Korn or something, but I ended up not going because I was busy. But after that we connected and got to know each other. There was an opening because I had done merch in the past for a couple local bands like with Locusts and Liars, you know, Afterlife. Well, Afterlife used to be a band called Every Passing Dream. I did it with them.
Sounds
So
familiar.
yeah, they had songs with the guys from Adalia and stuff like that. So I ended up being did merch with them. So I had experience. Nate called me. He goes, "Hey man, our merch guy is doing merch for Falling in Reverse and we need the guy." And I was like, "Awesome. I will be there." And I did a short run with them and ended up licking with their friend Sink In, and I'm doing merch for a couple bands. I'm not doing it this run. I wanted to be on the tour that's happening right now, but this gig paid way better.
Yeah, that's fair. So you mentioned, I'm just really just personal curiosity, and probably nobody else cares, but the Falling in Reverse guys and the guy who ended up doing merch there. Did you hear that cover song of the Papa Roach song they did?
Yeah, it was sick. And honestly, okay, I hate Ronnie Radke. That's like public. I hate Ronnie Radke with all my being, but he's very talented and the band's very talented.
Ronnie Radke is not a good human being in the slightest. And I am not saying this as a defense of him. The song was very good, but he is a terrible
human.
Yeah,
it was good.
Okay. I'm glad we're on the same page on that one. So back to racing. Yeah. We've got, I don't know, 8-ish weeks left in the NASCAR circus. You have anything left in the seat, on, you know, pit lane? What's the rest of the year looking like?
So finishing out the year with Emerling Gase Motorsports on the crew side, obviously the races that I'm not going to be there, I'm doing this. Like I'll be going to Sonoma for a BMW event, so I'm not going to be at Roseville, I think. Texas, I'm obviously not there this week because I'm in New York. So I got that. But all the other races, I'll be there. I'll be racing the Charlotte Roval. That's going to be a fun one.
Nice.
I'm excited for that. And then I might do another oval. I'm not sure exactly which one, but we'll see.
Nice. So since you're going to be at the Roval, NASCAR switched up their playoff stage format for the road courses, where there's, you know, stage break again, where they didn't have stage breaks all year on the road courses. Curious for your thoughts, like, because like I know, like I thought the non-stage break stage break was really cool, but also I get the point that the races were kind of dragging on and not maybe as exciting for the TV audience. So you're probably more educated than me. So what do you think?
So I think the interesting part about that is this year we've done both.
Yeah,
because we did the. We had the stage cautions at the non-companion races, and I've done two of those.
Yeah.
Then we did the no stage cautions. So I got to experience both in 1 year. So I think I have a finally have a good perspective on something that people have to be. So I think the non-stage cautions, at least for Xfinity, have been fun because the races were just short enough that like you can play the strategy game.
Sure.
And I think that there's a big disparity in the field, which still makes it interesting. Like you get to see like who goes long, who goes short. And there's such a disparity in equipment where the new cup car is so close and the drivers are so good. That's why I feel like it drags out because they don't make mistakes. They're really good. The equipment is so similar. So I don't necessarily think it's like a bad thing, but for Xfinity, it's been awesome. I think the entertainment value is awesome. Like selfishly, I hope that we get stage cautions because with the way that the back of the pack guys are, we don't have the kind of pit crews. We don't have the full tire allotment that a lot of the big teams have. So when it comes to those kind of races, we almost rely on stage cautions to be able to contend. I think Sonoma was such a fun race for me, like from the driver's seat, because I love long green flag runs. Personally, I'm a big long green flag run guy. Suck at restarts, try to get better at it. But that opportunity let me like, okay, we're running like top 15 lap times, like 20 laps in a run, which is like awesome because the tires fell off. But the moment we come to pit, you know, we're at a disadvantage. So it kind of kills it for us. It's fun for me, but I would say from a financial perspective, stage cautions are better. From an entertainment perspective, maybe also if people like big restarts, but I think like from a competition standpoint, I love the no stage cautions.
So a large majority of our audience is probably open wheel fans, so they may not know. You know, when you're talking about like smaller teams in Xfinity that don't have the full tire allotment, don't have full crew, like how tough is it? And you know, can you just explain to everybody like how big the gap is?
Coming up on 5 Minute News. I'm Anthony Davis. You might think it's partisan because maybe it's critical of one side or the other, but it's not. It's just the truth. And I think that's also something that's kind of unusual for Americans listening to the radio or to podcasts, because the news landscape in the States has been so partisan for so many decades. So 5-Minute News is verified, truthful, independent, unbiased, and essential world news daily.
Stay ahead of the pack with the latest racing news and interviews from the Hammerdown Racing Report, your source for regional racing action as well as the national scene. Every week, we recap racing action from all around Northwest Ohio and Southeast Michigan and cover national racing series from the world of outlaws to NASCAR. Plus, get all the latest racing news. Join hosts Scott Hammer and Ron Miller, along with different featured guests each week. From dirt to asphalt, we have you covered. The Hammerdown Racing Report, available weekly on your favorite podcasting platform.
I think the best way to put it is, imagine you and someone else go on a baseball field, and you're equally as gifted physically as that person. Let's say now I put a 15-pound weight on your shoulder, and now you need to throw a fastball.
Okay, like, I you see may
be able
to
figure it out somehow. You may be able to figure it out. You're still on the level playing field technically, but you're at a disability, and that's essentially where we're at. Like, you know, I seen a big argument this week about, like, oh, why are small teams even on the track if they're so, you know, broke and crying broke and all this stuff? But it's like, you got to think about, like, the opportunities that teams like that provide to people like me. It gives me a chance to actually be on track, and it allows people to learn. You know, we all can't be the fastest when we show up, even what, you know, no matter how good you think you are or how prepared you are, you know, everyone needs to make mistakes. Everyone needs to try. And I think it's great when you're able to, like, learn, make mistakes and do that kind of thing with not the big financial risk, driving for a car that, like, you know, like a Gibbs car that can win the race, even if you could afford that, you know? So I think that's why you see, like, people like Ross Chastain and Ryan Preece, who have gone through the lower tier teams to gain experience. So now they get to the big level and you're like, oh man, they're just that good. It's like, no, they had a lot of reps with teams that provided that opportunity. So yeah, it's tough.
So you also have less available sets of tires too, because it's just, you can't spend the money.
Yeah, so the tire bills usually our biggest bill of the weekend, because I would say most Xfinity races are 4 to 5 sets a weekend, and if you bill that at $22.75,
good lord,
that times that, and that's our tire bill for the weekend. So if you could get like secondhand tires, let's say I buy 2 sets of tires, and then I get a scuff set for $800, and then I get another scuff set for another $500. That just saved me, you know,
a lot,
$5,000-$6,000.
Yep.
Yeah.
Makes sense. All right. So you also have one of the, like, two more things. Both of them are very easy. You've had one of the coolest NASCAR liveries maybe of all time. I forget the name of the sponsor. Bone Aero Steel is what's coming to mind right now. Hopefully I nailed
close,
that right.
But aerospace, close.
Yeah, I was close. So how did that come about with, you know, the sponsor? And then also, did you have a hand in designing that livery? Was it the sponsor themselves? Was it somebody on the team? Like, how did that, you know, creative side of the process work? Because the car and the merch are fantastic.
No, thank you. I think I got to give a shout out to Luke Creative. I'm very big on, like, image. And I think like, you know, the way things look are important. I think it says a lot about you. It says a lot about the quality of what you have to bring. And we're in a selling market. We're doing is selling. Everybody's selling something. So I put a lot of value, and I spent a lot of my own money with Luke Creative for them to design everything, like everything down from the fire suits to tuning graphics to liveries to everything like that. And when I approached them with the idea, I originally was going to use the truck livery that we had earlier with the rocket ship on the side of it. But the sponsor, Bone Steel Aerospace, Preston Bone Steel, he really wanted to do a really cool special design for the Chicago Street Course. And I was all on board with it. I was just man, I'm spending a lot of money on creative right now. I don't know if I could get another paint scheme done, but the Lewes, Emily and Harris, they do such an amazing job. And I literally told them, like, this is the idea, you know, just something really cool with planets and stars. And they emailed me like a week later or something like that with the craziest design. I'm like, I wouldn't even touch it. Like, that's it's awesome.
Fair. I like it. Yeah, it's really cool. And for everybody listening, go check out the merch online. I'll put the link in the show notes here, but it's really cool. Wrap it up with an easy one. You've probably met a lot of cool race car drivers over the last couple of years. Have you gotten a piece of advice from somebody who's in the Cup Series or somebody who's in IMSA, you know, or wherever, that, you know, something that you really take to heart and you kind of remember all the time? And if you want to share it, cool. If not, you know, who gave you that great advice?
So it's funny because I've quoted him previously,
yeah,
in another interview about something that he said that I've used to guide my career a lot. And it was, don't be bitter. And that was from Andy Lally.
Okay.
And that was something that I quoted from him. And he didn't tell me that. It was just something I read that he said, and ended up meeting Andy, and me and him have now become good friends. And he told me another piece of advice, and I don't think he'll mind that I'll share this, but I'll censor it. I'll be like, he says, bleep everyone else.
Okay, I like it. All
when
right,
you're out, yep, there, it's you. And I'm like, man, I sometimes it's hard to think about that, because when you're up against people with so much experience and so much talent, and you know you've seen them accomplish all these things, and you're out there, and you're like, oh, I don't want to be disrespectful. I don't want to, like, you know, drive them bad, and blah, blah, blah. And I, one time I vented to him about it, and he goes, why do you care? F everyone else. I was like, really? He goes, yeah, I don't care. Like, I could be right behind Kyle Larson. I'll punt him out of the way. I'm like, dude, what are you talking about? But that's the kind of guy Andy is, and that was a great piece of advice.
I love it. Well, we'll wrap it there. Good luck, man. Safe travels, and we'll have to have you on again at some point early next year.
Oh, thank you, Mike. I'll come on anytime.
Awesome, man. Enjoy.
Get ready, race fans, because the ultimate NASCAR experience is about to hit the airwaves. Welcome to Pit Pass NASCAR, the podcast that takes you deep into the heart-pounding world of NASCAR racing.
Join us each week as we bring you closer to the NASCAR action with exclusive interviews and all the news and rumors you need with your favorite drivers, team members, and industry insiders.
So whether you're a fan of super speedways, short ovals, or road racing, or you've just watched Talladega Nights, Pit Pass NASCAR is the podcast you've been waiting for.
Get ready to fuel your passion for NASCAR like never before. Subscribe now to Pit Pass NASCAR on your favorite podcast platform, or head to evergreenpodcast.com and get ready to join us.
Launching in the fall on Evergreen Podcast Network. Follow us on social media at pitpass_NASCAR to stay up to date with everything you need to know about the podcast.